This morning, our scripture lesson is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Become what you are. That's how one commentator summarizes the thoughts of these two verses. In short, Paul said, you have received Christ. Live it. Become what you are. You know, I have said this over and over again. The Christian faith is not complicated. You do not need a PhD in theology to understand Christianity. It is probably the most simple religion, except trying to figure out the Trinity, which I don't try to figure out. But other than that, Christianity is the most simple religion on this earth. But its execution, as any striving to be faithful Christian knows, is not as easy as A plus B equals C. First this morning, as a quick reminder, there is a vast difference between knowing about Jesus and being in a relationship with Jesus. I watch what news I can stand, and I surf the internet. I know about a lot of people. I've never met them, and I never will. But from the reports I read on the internet and the news I see about these persons, I have some very strong opinions about them, good and bad, though I have never met them personally, though I will never have a personal conversation with them. Many, if not most people, have an opinion about Jesus. And it's based on what they've heard. Now, not all things that are said about Jesus are accurate. Still, many, if not most people, have heard enough about Jesus, rightly or wrongly, so that they have formed an opinion about Him. And a great deal of that opinion is formed according to what persons encounter when they come in contact with us who claim the name of Christian. And thus, it's imperative on us this morning, if you don't hear anything else from this sermon, it's imperative on us that claim the name, that when we encounter other people, particularly non-Christians or marginal Christians, that what we say about Jesus matches the way we live. But even if such is our heart's intent, and I hope it is, it's not automatic that faith in Christ will lead to Christian attitudes and Christian actions. Paul instructed in our scripture lesson, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You'll recall that last week we looked at some length at how this letter was written in response to impressive sounding philosophies contradicting the gospel, and these false teachings threatened to either lead the Colossians astray or at the very least discourage them. And so Paul admonishes the Colossians, don't get up at all that stuff that has been made up by human beings. And stick with the principles of the gospel. Don't get caught up in all that stuff that is not true and therefore does not matter. Become what you are. You were taught who Jesus is. And you were justified by grace, receiving it through faith. Now stick with that and grow in your relationship with Jesus. Don't get caught up in all this peripheral stuff. Stick with the fundamentals of Jesus and build on Him. I remember football practice. We always wanted to run plays. We always wanted to scrimmage. But you know what the majority of football practice was, at least where I went to school? Drills. Running through ropes, running through tires. The drill that I hated the worst was when we lined up in two lines and I had to walk straight into somebody, not defend myself, walk straight into somebody and they tackled me so the coach could see if they had the right form. Oh, I hated that drill. But football practice was drills, drills. And after you had done the drills, you did more drills. And we would whine to the coach, when are we going to run some more plays? We're going to finish our drills. Well, what the coaches realized that we boys didn't was, if you can't block, if you can't tackle, if you can't catch the ball, if you can't stand on your feet, it doesn't matter what kind of fancy plays you have, you're not going to execute and you're not going to win. I found it interesting. I was watching the NFL Network just a couple or three weeks ago. And the coach for the Green Bay Packers, you know what he said? He said, this year we are going to focus more on fundamentals and less on complicated plays. Even the pros, if you don't have the fundamentals, if you don't block, if you don't tackle, you don't catch the ball, you don't stay on your feet, you're not going to execute, you're not going to win. Regardless of the endeavor, sports, arts, business, Christian faith, there are certain fundamentals that if not adhered to are going to doom the effort. And the fundamentals of the Christian faith, again, are blatantly simple. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the Christian faith. That's basically it. Now, of course, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You do need to read your Bible and learn more of who Jesus was. But if somebody wants to know, if I'm going to be a Christian, what's it about? That's it. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The Gaithers had a song that they summarized it by saying, it's loving God and loving each other. That's it. Now then, of course, we flesh it out, particularly in the Gospels as we read of the ministry and teachings of Jesus. But love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the fundamentals. But do we really love Jesus? John, what kind of ridiculous question is that in a church service? Well, loving in principle and loving when the rubber hits the road can be vastly different. Of course we have grateful and sentimental feelings for Jesus. If we did not, likely you would not be here. But now I'm going to start meddling. But now it's like Clyde Smith told me, I'm in sales, not management. So I'm presenting it to you and you have to determine yourself. But I am going to meddle a little bit. And my meddling starts with looking in the mirror. What if the obvious teachings of Jesus conflicts with your politics? What if the obvious teachings of Jesus conflicts with your patriotism? What if the obvious teachings of Jesus conflict with your economics? John, you don't have to go there. Trying to stick with the fundamentals of Jesus in the midst of living in the challenges of life can inspire us to come up with some ingenious and plausible sounding reasonings of why it's actually okay to veer from the teachings of Jesus. Jesus becomes more of a guide as opposed to the Lord of our lives. Do we believe in justification by grace received through faith? Well, I do for me. But you know, there are some people out there who fall into a much more severe category of sin than I do. And they really need to prove their worth. They need to prove they're serious. They really need to prove that they've accepted. They need to have a probation period. Now, we may not think that consciously, but do our attitudes toward others reveal a limited theology of being saved by grace received through faith? Do we really love each other? And I'm not just talking about in this room. I'm talking about people. Do we really love each other? I've heard it said that everybody wants to save the world, but nobody wants to help mama do the dishes. Most of us in sentiment love people. Most of us in principle love people. Well, you know, there are those, though, particularly those we see on the news, those individuals in particular groups, we all know who they are. They really don't deserve my loving. You know, God can love them if he wants to, but not me. We all know who they are. And we likely, if we're honest with ourselves, have some people in our own sphere of relationships that we would place in this category. The difficulty in serving Jesus is I cannot find anywhere in Jesus' teachings where I'm afforded those luxuries. What does it mean to be a Christian? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You know, maybe it's a whole lot easier to engage in theological discussion than it is to focus on the fundamentals of loving God and loving each other. Now, hopefully, even though being a Christian is simple to understand but extremely challenging to live, I hope it's still our heart's desire to pursue such a lofty goal. The New Testament says that the church, which is the community of Christians, us, is the bride of Christ. Like in marriage, when we are baptized and join the church, we take vows. And we find that after being married a while, that a successful marriage takes work. There are times when we are called upon to forgive. And to forgive means that a wrong was done. If a wrong was not done, there's nothing to forgive. But in every marriage, there comes times when we are called upon to forgive. There are times when illness strikes the family and one has to carry the full load of the home. You know, every once in a while, you know, like everybody, Sailor or I want to, you know, get a bug and we're down for 2 or 3 days. We really want the other one to get better for two reasons. One, we love each other and we just want the other to get better. And the other is we get tired doing the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? But there comes times when one is ill, sometimes temporarily, sometimes permanently, and one has to carry the full load of the home. There are times when one or both sacrifice their desire and their dreams for the good of the family. Do you notice how easy it is to make marriage sound like, ugh? You notice how easy it would be to talk a young person out of getting married when you tell them what's involved? But couples stay together. And they tend to do so out of one of two extremes. Now, I know whenever I give extremes, there's always places in the middle, but there are two predominant reasons people stay together. One is there are those who stay together out of duty. The flame flickered out a long, long, long time ago. For all intents and purposes, the two persons lived separate lives. They may either constantly bicker or perhaps not speak at all. But by George, we stayed together because we said till death do us part, and one day one of us is finally going to die. But we stayed together. Others stay together because of the relationship. This couple took it to heart when they vowed that they would love, honor, and cherish each other no matter what. Thus, as they encountered each joy or each sorrow, they loved, they honored, they cherished each other. As they celebrated each victory and struggled through each failure, they loved and cherished and honored each other. Through each disagreement and every reconciliation, they loved, they honored, they cherished each other. And over the years, the two grew closer. I look at Liz and Irby sometimes when they were still able to be at home. They looked at each other like 2 20-year-olds. You grow closer. You stick by each other. And you start to take on each other's traits. You not only finish each other's sentences, you know what they're going to say before they say it. If you do something at home, you dread telling him or her because you know exactly what they're going to say. And it is so funny. Sometimes that happens with all couples, but sometimes one or the other, particularly you'll be in a Bible study or something, and the convener will make a comment and the spouse will look over and they can see the other spouse is about to say something. And it's like, John, oh, why did you go there? Because they know what's coming. they become one. So it is with the bride of Christ, the church, you and me in Jesus. As we spend time in worship, as we spend time in Bible study, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time in service, our relationship with Jesus Christ grows. And as that relationship grows, we become more like Him. And as that relationship grows, we don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? We know what Jesus would do. And over time, and I want you to hear this statement, over time we grow to love Jesus, not just be loved by Jesus, and thus our focus becomes one of desiring to serve and love and please Him. And that leads to our becoming more like Him in our attitudes and our actions, and hence we truly become Christian. If we're stubbornly trying to keep our vow to be faithful to Jesus, even if we're miserable as all get out, we will never grow in Christlikeness. If we grow to love Jesus more and more, becoming more like Him, becoming more like Him just becomes a part of who we are. His nature starts to take over our nature so that it becomes natural to think and act like Jesus. Thus, as we grow to love Jesus more and more, motivating us to serve to our greatest potential, it will not be out of duty, but it will be out of love. And it will be out of gratitude. Thus we love Jesus. We love each other. And we even love those who are hard to love. And we serve Jesus in grateful response to the one who loved us, wooed us, and gave everything for us. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we do love you. We thank you and praise you for loving us when we are at our best and when we are less than our best. But Lord, I have to confess, at least for myself, this loving people part is not quite so easy. For Lord, when people have hurt us, it's hard to love. When people are trying to kill us, it's hard to love. When people are trying to stamp out our ability to speak in Jesus' name, it's hard to love. But Lord, I don't see in your Gospels where you give me the luxury of picking and choosing. And so Lord, I just pray that your love would take over my heart and anyone who agrees with this prayer, so that through your love I might grow to the place that might be like you, so that it will become natural to love even the unlovable. Lord, teach us how to stay with the fundamentals. that we might love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we will truly love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.